everybody. Welcome to another edition of Where You From, the podcast where we explore origin stories. I'm Sarah Benincasa. My guest today is Christina Hutchinson of the awesome, awesome podcast, Guys We Fucked. She and her co-host, Corinne Fisher, have created a magical world. And I know a lot of people who listen to it, whether or not they are currently sexually active or dating or not. It's just friggin' funny. It's smart. It's lovely. Much like Christina herself. And I hope you enjoy learning about North Wales, Pennsylvania. And you will hear me geek out hardcore about the Philly suburbs in general. So, get ready to fall in love with Christina. I did. Listen, kids. I am stoked to have a sponsor. I hope you buy all of their things. They are called Baboon. Baboon makes technical duffel bags for all of life's adventures. Every bag comes with free shipping and a lifetime guarantee. They come in two sizes, a small for carrying on and a large to check. Both sizes can be stuffed in a trunk, carried on your back, or dragged wherever your adventures take you, maybe to one of the towns we are learning about on this very podcast. See why Condé Nast Traveler is calling it the ultimate weekender. Visit BaboonToTheMoon.com and enter code SARA to receive 10% off your purchase. That's BaboonToTheMoon.com, code SARA. There's no H there because my parents were wild. BaboonToTheMoon.com, code SARA. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode. I'm Sarah Benincasa. With me today is writer, author.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, podcast host of Guys We Fucked. Stand-up comedian. Producer, I would say, also.
You could say that as well.
A content creator.
Mm-hmm.
Available for big money entertainment gigs.
Hell yeah.
Christina, I just
hey, happy to be here.
I'm so stoked that I know people probably ask you about the spelling of your name all the time, which is very beautiful. And I swear this applies to what we're about to discuss, because you have a few hometowns, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about North Wales, PA.
Yeah.
And so named because there were a lot of Welsh immigrants to Pennsylvania.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes.
Damn.
Listen,
look
at
you, Sarah.
Research. But growing up in Jersey in Hunterdon County across the water from Bucks County, PA, so across right across Delaware, we would go into PA, to New Hope, Pennsylvania, and we'd go to Doylestown, different places around there.
Yes.
Just general, and Philly.
So I was born in Doylestown. Yeah.
Shut the front door. Mm-hmm. My friend.
Doylestown Hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend, I bet Pink was born there, too.
She was. Well, I don't know if she was born there, but she went to, like, Central Bucks West
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my friend Deanna Rooney, who's married to Jonah Ray, they are on tour right now for Mystery Science Theater 3000 Live.
Oh.
And she was texting me because they were kind of deposited in this town for a few days before their tour bus came in and go over the U.S. I'm like, so where are you? She's like, oh, I've never been here. It's Doylestown, PA. I was like, excuse me.
Yo.
You need to go to the county theater, a historic movie theater.
Yes.
You need to go. Listen, Peddler's Village, Lahaska, Pennsylvania. Scarecrow competition is on right
yes!
now.
Yes! Oh, dude, the scarecrows in Doylestown? Oh, my God.
So cool.
My Philly accent is coming back.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I love it.
Can I get a hoagie, a Wawa?
I was like, go get some wood rice.
Yeah.
So, because my part of Jersey, that's where the kind of Brooklyn adjacent North Jersey accent turns into the, like, Woodrays, pick up your
Wawa food, country.
Wawa country.
Yeah.
Philly accent. So there's this moment. Yeah. So I was like thrilled. I probably terrified my poor friend Deanna. Just sent her so many links. I was like, go to Love Saves a Day in New Hope. Go to
good recommendation.
Stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Hope's amazing.
Oh, I love it so much. And I love that you're from the you know, Philly suburbs, because Philly suburb people always have interesting stories. But so growing up, there were these towns whose names I still don't know how to pronounce, that had a ton of consonants because they were Welsh.
Oh.
Like Balachinwyn or whatever. It's like B-A-L-A-C-Y-N-Y. And I was just thinking about all this. And I was like, I don't think Christina's Welsh. I don't know why.
Not
she's
at
got
all.
The Ys.
You know, I did a bit about this for the first time last night on stage, actually, because I was like, oh, I should tell that story because my name's spelled so damn weird.
Okay, this feels like a psychic connection right now.
Well, it's the most anticlimactic story ever. A woman my mom met once drove by a hair salon called Christina's Salon, spelled K-R-Y-S-T-Y-N-A. And she said, that's why I decided. And the woman came up to me and she said, you should spell it K-R-Y-S-T-Y-N-A. And I was like, okay.
So you started, oh my God.
That was it. That was the story.
Where was the
What an origin story,
where's
huh?
Where's the hair salon?
In Doylestown.
I'm so happy.
just like, Mom, do you understand how many disgusted looks I got as a child when I would start a new school year? No one knew. And I never had a nameplate on my bike. Never had pencils with my name on it.
People always spelled it wrong, I'm sure.
Yeah, but now, so my comedy partner, Corinne mm-hmm. Fisher, she's C-O-R-I-O. Sorry, a pigeon just like did the Egyptian walking by.
A pigeon just landed on the windowsill outside Anchor HQ where we're recording and is just sort of doing its thing.
Yeah.
Really showboating.
Stoic, really.
Corinne Fisher at Philanthropy Gal.
Yes.
Who I want to have on the show
as well. She's amazing. Yeah, she's awesome. And her hometown is Union, and she's like a history nerd and a Halloween nerd. She probably has all these cool stories about it. But they always spell her name wrong now because my name is so fucked up that they always spell hers like C-O-R-R-I-N-E. And it's just like, I don't think anybody's ever really spelled her name wrong before because it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And it kind of drives her nuts. Like, they'll spell wrong on the marquee.
Like a K.
They'll be
like, oh, it's double
K. Well, no, never a K, but it's always like, there's always two R's. It's like, it's not Corinne. It's Corinne.
It's Corinne.
Yeah.
As a Sarah with no H. I have some experience with this, but people always know, not always, but a lot of times people will go, even at Starbucks, it's really cute. They'll go, H or no H. And I'm like, that is so, thank you. That means, and it's so funny how that, the way they don't know you at all.
Yeah, it's a courtesy.
It feels good. And it's a wonderful customer service move, too, because it creates this fake feeling of intimacy.
Yeah, well, especially if they say it like that, H or no
H. Like, H or no H?
Like, oh my God, whatever you want. When they go, when I say Christina, they go, with a K or a C? I'm like, whatever you want, I don't care.
You're like, that's going to be a long story.
You're not going to get it right. It's okay, I don't care.
I also have to tell you, which has nothing to do with North Wales, PA,
okay.
or your name, I love that you, and I don't know if you're going to keep doing it, but I love when you do Fuckboy Friday.
Thank you.
Your Instagram.
I have a meeting about making that something bigger right after this, actually, because, I really like doing funny voices, and I'm single for the first time in 7 years, and those dating apps, man, wow. Just the only way that I can process the decline of humanity is to make fun of it.
And the only way, and I should tell people for Fuckboy Fridays, if you don't know, why don't you know? Why aren't you a
what the hell?
Why aren't you a psycho fan?
Follow
like
me on Instagram, Christina Hutch.
And so Christina will do like will read real. It's real stuff.
And the men, I'll read screenshots people send me from their dating app conversations. And every time I do it, all the men they comment on it and they're like, "There's no way this is fake, right?" They know, and I'm like, "Dudes, no." And you of all people need to know that this is real. And you need to know that this is what we deal with.
They're genuinely surprised. Somebody, one of my best friends, Curtis, the other day I was talking to him and I was like, you know, thank you, John. John brought, thank you.
In a happy
you
yellow
so
cup.
Much. I love it. Coffee, coffee, coffee. I pretend that I have an assistant named Daniel. I'm sort of building out Daniel's origin story. I don't know what it is. I don't know his character yet. Daniel arose during, let's see, I interviewed Adam Pally and then I interviewed Michael Arsenault. And
you got a good lineup.
I got Christina Hutchinson, okay?
I'm honored to be
also,
a part of this.
Note, it's very dude heavy. Sexist, Sarah. Ben and Costa over here. I'm like,
they're going to write an article about you.
I'm going to text Corinne or DM her later and be like, can you come in? This is so last minute because I'm so grateful Anchor offered me studio space, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, because they're not a network, they're a distribution platform. And I was talking to Michael, the co-founder, and was like, I want to do this podcast. And I talked to him, like, which one? I had a couple ideas. I was like, which one hits you the most? Because I just got tired of pitching stuff and all these people places want scripted now. So I've been pitching a lot. And that's
for podcasts?
Yes, because they want to then pivot to TV or film. So they own the network owns the IP, right? Or you as creator own a little bit. And then it's kind of like Marvel. Yeah. I mean, I'm recording a Comic-Con or right after Comic-Con. So I'm in that mindset. It's like, I was on a Marvel panel the other night and they said, what Marvel character would you most like to write for? And I said, the one where I own the IP and the publication and syndication and I own all it. Because when they own the rights, they own toys. They own... I was talking to Jesse Falcon, who comes from the UCB world, from the comedy world. Super funny dude. And he's their head of toy development.
Mm.
It's crazy huge.
Wow.
So, like, anyway, when we do your hometown toys, I'll, of course, be, when we do the Christina Hutchinson minifig, I'll be consulting with you. I'll
perfect.
Like, what do you think? Yeah, it's a bunch of heavy hitters over here. What was I going to ask you? It was something... Okay, Fuckboy Fridays we talked about, which I love.
Dating conversations. People think they're fake. Guys think they're fake, but they're not.
I have a friend who's getting divorced after, like, 15 years marriage. Two friends. They're great. So that's like, I'm like, are you guys
Are you
okay?
friends with both of the people?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, are you guys okay?
So oh, you got to pick one? You don't have to pick one.
I was like, are you guys okay? And they were like, yeah, we're fine. We just didn't work. We're cool. Like, they're still buds.
Oh.
You know, it just was for a long time.
I think.
And so, and they have like four kids and all the kids are like, yeah, we're fine. But
wow. Well adjusted. Good for them.
They're all like young kids too. And all four of the kids are just like very chill people. I'm like, what?
It's my dream.
They were all raised in like the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, okay.
So they're like very chill. They're like, yeah, man, things happen. I'm like, you're five. You're literally five. But I was talking to them and they're both the husband and the wife who were bringing up. They're like, yeah, we're like looking at our you know, they both have they're both on the apps. They're like, this is codependent, but we looked at each other's and, you know,
I'm sure it's good critiques.
It's cute. The husband says to the wife, he's like, you know, you're funny and you need to be not afraid to put more humor in. She was like, how do you even know? You don't date. And then she looked at his and she was like, you need to not say that you're like into like, she's like whatever dorky shit.
Yeah.
It's very, I'm like, this is a sitcom. This should be like a show you guys do.
Yeah.
But, which probably will be, but like, they're both like, oh my God, this is so weird. It's weird. It's weird. After it was weird for me when I did it after being with somebody for like, you know, 2 or 3 years. It must be weird for you.
It's just, it's weird. Well, I'm on Raya.
Oh, yes. Raya is
better caliber.
Celebrity Tinder.
I got to say.
Yeah. No,
it's better.
So hot.
They're like, hot.
But all hot.
You could tell that there's not a lot of, you know, they have a lot. I asked my guy friends, like, what female celebrities. They got fucking Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Law's on there?
Yo, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And there's, like, a lot of crazy, amazing female celebrities. Trevor Noah was on it. And I was like.
Oh, my God.
And every day, he doesn't like me back. But I think he's seeing somebody now. But
Amy Schumer, you know, she talked about, Raya got really, like, big for a while because Amy Schumer talked about having met somebody, not her husband, but somebody.
But that furniture builder
that
guy.
That furniture guy. And everybody was like, who the fuck is this dude who's good at shit? And he was just, like, great at life. And everyone was like, yeah, Amy, get it. And so, and I know a lot of us girls were like, what the fuck is
that?
So, like,
Eliza Schlesinger met her husband.
Her dude?
Oh, yeah, on Raya.
Yeah, it's like good people meet good people, but then also Jake Vogelness once described it to me as a place where one time he was like, Sarah, I mean, Instagram models needed a place to meet DJs. So it's also that. And my friend Liz Alvarez one time was she was out with another friend and they put up, so I don't feel bad saying this is public, whereas my conversation with Jake was private, but I don't think he'll care. But Liz put up on her, Zelfer and Lee is great, put up on her Instagram. She was like, I'm in a bar with my friend and we both said this just looks like a Raya like bar. So it's like this is a celebrity dating app, which P.S. I was rejected from.
Oh, I have a thing. Are you single?
Yeah, I'll buy for it.
Oh my God.
Will you send me the thing?
Yeah, I have a thing. I have a, it alerted me that I have a friend thing.
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much.
Oh wait, yeah, this thing.
An Instagram model.
Yeah, friend pass.
Does it go through your Instagram?
Give my friend pass. It does. Because it connects to your Instagram. But then I look at the guy.
That's fine.
If the guy's an artist and he has less followers than me, it's not an ego thing, but I'm just like, I can't help anybody. I don't want to help somebody. Because my last relationship was just, I was helping people.
Sometimes it's like when somebody, thank you so much for that, by the way.
Of course.
Sometimes it's like when somebody, in any field that you're in, mm-hmm. when somebody who is trying to come up in that field, I've seen this, my dad's in the pharmaceutical industry, and so I've had friends who've worked in pharma over the years, and I've seen it there. I've seen it in advertising. I've worked in nonprofit digital marketing. I've seen it there. I've seen it at the hair salon where I worked at in Boston. Like, when somebody's coming up and you have a certain amount of status, it doesn't mean that you think you're king shit.
No. Yeah.
But it is important to kind of clock. Do these people really want to be with me, or are they hoping they'll get to work as the full-time front desk manager at the salon?
Right. Well, also, but it's more of a, I know myself and I will try to help you. And I have like 80 voices in my head, and the manager voice is like, you need to date somebody who doesn't need any help, because even if they don't ask, you're going to try. Mm-hmm. And I can't do it.
They should be very happy in what they're doing.
Yes. And,
I mean, when Rachel, you know, Rachel Feinstein married
a firefighter. That's my dream.
He's a doll. Like,
I've never
met
firemen.
Him, but her brother, Justin, was like, he's such a nice person. And I was talking to...
How'd they meet? Not Raya.
No, I think they just, I forget. Justin told me, her brother told me, and I don't remember. And, you know, Johnny LaQuesta, like, tours with her.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, Justin said that this is so, like, it's funny how I think comedy in many ways is like a small village in 100%. The old country.
And it's my favorite village in the whole world.
It's our hometown.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Our hometown
it's our
choice.
Hometown. Yes.
And Johnny was like, he's great. He's just a great dude. He's so, and Johnny's like, I'm so happy for her. Like, this dude is solid. And I'm like, damn, I'm so just, she's just one that she really, I mean, she's beautiful. Guys over the years.
She's beautiful. She's funny. Yeah,
and
I have a crush on her.
I have total crush on her. She can leave the firemen for me. It would be dramatic, but I'm friends with her brother. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But you know, she was always somebody who I thought, and she would probably laugh if she heard me say this, but, you know, not knowing her super duper well, but I felt Rachel was always somebody who was selective. This was not somebody I was throwing my, I was like drunk and, you know, for 7 years and was like, what? Like, gross. But I always felt like Rachel kind of carried herself with some dignity.
She did. She's one of the few, man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I think you have a ton of dignity and come across as a confident person, whether or not you
are. I'm definitely confident. I'm certainly confident, but dignity, I guess I have it. I mean, I'm not falling over drunk and shit.
Yeah.
But that's because, like, I can't really get drunk because I'll throw up before I get drunk, so.
Which is great. I
mean, I'm very lucky.
Ron Funches is allergic to alcohol.
And oh, I'm like, good for
so
him, kind
good
of.
For him.
Yeah.
He has a podcast called Getting Better, which is really nice, and it's just about trying to improve your life, however that may be. And so he, you know, can't booze it up, and how many days sober do I have? Let me check this out.
Oh, are you taking a break?
I retired. I hung up my jersey.
You're no longer drinking?
No, they hung up my jersey in Madison
what
Square
What happened?
Garden. I just...
Did you punch someone?
No, I just hoed too hard, man. I just... You know when you get to the place where you're like, I'm going to start making you choke?
You cannot hoe too hard. What are you talking about?
I hoed too hard.
How?
Finally. I did some hoe shit. One too many times. I crossed boundaries.
Oh, we gotta
times.
Have you on Guys We Fucked.
Oh God, it'll be like,
how have we not had you on Guys We Fucked yet? That's insane to me.
Married guys opening a vein, which sounds fun. It sounds fun. I just, you know, I was a goddamn trash bag, and so I was trash bagging so hard for so long, in my opinion, and I'm sure my friends would say that is somewhat true, but not 100% true. You know, I just finally was like, wow. I feel gross about this. I don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It wasn't, and this is the thing, it wasn't the alcohol that made me do it. I wanted to do it so I would drink so I could blame it on the alcohol.
Right.
And
yeah.
I was like, let's,
there,
remove,
my friend.
Let's remove that and see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's play this game. And then, you know, that sort of brings out, you learn about other things that are fucked up.
Yeah. But then, like, you got to really visit your demons.
Well, we also both come, for sure, and we both come from, I feel like, areas. I don't know if there's something with places that get cold and boozing. I don't know. The greater Philadelphia area, not known for being a land of not diving into booze and carbohydrates.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Love a gobbler. Year-round, if you had it. I would eat the gobbler year-round. Yes.
There's Booze Philly Cheesesteak is very close to my home in Silver Lake, and it's very dangerous for me.
Oh,
and there have
wow.
been times wasted after doing some hoe shit, probably, that I ordered from them because they'll deliver late. And I just was like, look, I'm really in an ancestral place right now. Were you born? I mean, I know, you know, the show, I guess, is about fucking hometowns. So maybe I should get back to that. But, like, where were you born?
I was born in Doylestown.
But then you
lived there
moved.
For 2 years.
Okay.
Dad's in the Navy.
Okay.
So he was in Willow Grove.
Okay.
And so we lived in Doylestown. Then he got stationed in Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. And then so we moved to Chesapeake, Virginia. I lived there from ages 2 to 10. And then I moved back to, and then I moved to North Wales with my mom. My parents separated for 3 years. Moved to North Wales. And then they got back together.
Wow.
Moved to a bigger house in North Wales.
Thank you for your service, Mr. Hutchinson, first of all.
Thank you. Yeah.
And also, what?
This is his necklace that he got when he was drafted. Everyone thinks I'm like some patriotic motherfucker. I'm like, no, it's an eagle, but my grandparents gave it to my dad when he got drafted.
I don't know anybody who is more authentic, down to earth, and real about the realities of the concept of patriotism than military people and the children of military people.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids who grow up military, like, don't have, the ones that I know at least, don't have fancy notions about stuff. I dated a guy who was in the Army, and we're still dear, dear friends. I just hung out with him all this week, for a minute this weekend. Not all this weekend, Jesus. We weren't like,
I miss him.
Yeah, no, he's got a girlfriend who's dope. She's cool. No, we hung out for like a few hours this week, and we were talking, and I said to him, I was like, you know, I really admire what you do. And he was like, like,
We'll just walk around in boots.
There's no like fancy parade attitude about it. It's just like, fuck it. This is the reality. Yeah. Like, having talk about the ups and downs. So you were a military kid.
Yeah. My dad was forced because he was drafted. Yeah. So when he got his draft letter the week before he got his college acceptance letter.
Oh, Jesus
so he
Christ.
Had to get, if he got the college letter first, he would have gone to college.
Oh, my God.
But then I'm like, maybe I wouldn't have been here. So I'm glad you got drafted, Dad.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. But then he stayed in. Right?
Yeah. He stayed in. He retired as a chief. Yeah.
Holy shit. Badass. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you're from, was Dad from PA originally?
He's from Jersey. My parents were both from Jersey.
Nice.
They met in Florida at a pool hall. My mom got ran over by a truck on the beach. True story. When she was 18, the next day, she went to a pool hall. She had tire tracks in her arm. She met my father. They started conversing, found out that my mom's mom was my dad's kindergarten teacher.
This is so Jersey.
And then my dad looks at her arm. He goes, you look like you got ran over by a truck. And she's like, actually, I did. And then they fell in love.
I'm falling in love with you more now. This is the most Jersey fucking story.
It's so Jersey.
It's even more Jersey because it happened in Florida.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. And she.
The Jersey of the South.
You're like hard ass mom gets run over by a goddamn truck. Yep. The next day she's naturally in a pool hall.
Yeah. 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 She was too scared to go to the doctor. I'm like, okay. All right.
Oh, mom.
Well, okay. Get some agency, mom.
So what town are they from? Or what area?
They're Mapletown?
Maplewood.
Maplewood, and my dad was born in Newark.
Okay. I'm from Flemington, which is in the boonies, which is why it's so close to Bucks County.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you know, where I grew up was a place where there were people who...
Is there Trenton?
Not far. It's about like 40 minutes
Flemington's
north.
Over the bridge from New Hope, right?
It's close. Lamberville's over the bridge
Lamberville,
from New Hope.
That's
and
right.
Lamberville is in Hunterdon
I
County.
I love Lamberville.
Yeah. I mean, Flemington's like 20 minutes from New Hope.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I love Lamberville. When I was growing up, Lamberville, New Jersey was like where all the lesbians lived. And New Hope,
yes.
PA was where the
gay guys lived. Yep.
And like if you wanted to find like somebody who was trans, punk, the guys from the band Ween, you know, and then like Toni Morrison had a house in Bucks somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
So like it was where the weirdos were, like, and it was where the people who were different, and certainly it was New Hope was a lot of in the 80s and 90s was a lot of like wealthy gay men from Philly who had weekend homes that were in literal like 17th and 18th century canal houses.
Yes, on these hills. Oh my God. In New Hope, these houses are, it's my dream to have a house there.
It's enchanting. And one of my ancestors, not that long ago, actually, I'm saying ancestors, it was like three generations ago, when they came up from Ireland, they worked on the barges in New Hope. So I have like a lot of PA love. So I'm so excited that you're from that area.
Yes, I love Pennsylvania.
It's magical. So what was your, in North Wales, I mean, this must have been a very vulnerable time when you first got there because mom and dad had separated.
It's very vulnerable. I remember I lived in a condo with my mom's friend Terry, but she was actually my mom's friend, not her lesbian lover. And I know it sounds very
well. It's as we've established, this was a queer area.
Well, 100%. And we moved in with a family friend, and then I started going to school. I went to North Penn School District, and it's funny, I haven't revisited this in a while, but seventh grade was my first year. It's the first year of middle school in Pennsylvania, and that was my first year moving there.
What a fragile time.
I fell in, when I say in love, I mean the most obsessive, borderline creepy a seventh grader can get with my English teacher, Mr. O'Brien.
Was he so cute?
Yeah, I mean, he was like married with a kid, but like I would write his initials on my notebook so he could see it. Like I got into theater because of him, because he was the director.
Oh my gosh.
And he told me to audition, and I didn't make it, but then he like had me like help. He gave me like a pity internship basically. And I was like, okay, I'll do anything, whatever. And then like I found my love for theater. And that's why I wanted to, I mean, that really, that's why I went to college. I majored in acting, and that was a big reason why, because I got into theater. And then eventually by the time I left middle school, I was like the lead, because I was like, I want to set a goal and see if I can meet it. But I did track because he coached it.
Whoa! What an inflection point in your life.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, to me, this is very pop psychology. Like, I have a master's degree in teaching English for grades 7 through 12.
Oh,
so
damn.
So mostly we studied, I didn't major in, that's why I moved to New York. I got into Teachers College at Columbia, and then I started doing stand-up. And like,
shit.
Still, I have $2,000 left to pay on that.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad. It's been 10 years. You know, speaking from a former teacher's perspective, like with the courses I did take in adolescent psych. You were at such a vulnerable time. There's such a time of transition. Mm-hmm. Plus, aside from mom and dad being separated, which really knocks your world off kilter, you're somewhere very different. So it makes sense to me that you would have idolized a man with a wife and kid, you know, like I think there was probably some, that's kind of understandable.
My therapist said that was me going into protection mode, going like, you need a base here. You need something to motivate you. And I was getting really bad grades in Virginia because the kids would bully me and shit. And I would like, I was such a weak person. So I would like take it and be like, I guess I am this horrible piece of shit. And then when I moved to Pennsylvania, I fell in love with this teacher. I got involved in all these extracurricular activities that I really loved. And I got straight A's. So I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
Because I was so madly in love with this teacher, I was like motivated to do well. Seriously, like I was walking on sunshine every day.
A good man who doesn't do something disgusting to a child.
He never did. And I tried, man. Oh, I tried all 3 years of that middle school.
He knew his boundaries.
He wasn't a perv.
He was a good man.
He was a good man.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Listen, yeah. I had a crush on one of my high school English teachers and fully dedicated a book to him in my 30s. So, like, but
that's
amazing. His wife, who's great, came to the event with him. And, you know, I wasn't like hitting on him right at that point. I just was thinking about it. And I was like, it just gives you a little like sparkle that makes you want to go to class.
Yes. And it was the fuel that I needed to enjoy life. It truly was.
And you also,
I love being in like, I mean, I don't know if I wasn't in love with him, but like, it felt like that at the time. Like, it was the hugest crush I've ever had in my life.
And you also had an adult male who was saying, hey, you're good at this. You should do this. I mean, encouraging. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not the same thing, but when I was talking to, when I interviewed Adam Pally, he had gotten kicked out of a school and out of a private school and went to public school for high school. And I asked him, was there a teacher who was influential to you? And he talked about one teacher who wasn't like, we talked about that, how you don't need an adult in that age to coddle you and be like, you're so good at everything.
Yeah.
It was, there was a teacher who was like, hey, you should, yeah, you want to do sketches? Cool. Like, here's the video equipment. It was a public high school in Jersey, very well funded. So they had like a TV station, mine did too. And he just had that teacher who was like, yeah, you should do this. Yeah, do this. Mm-hmm. Who wasn't like up his ass going, you're perfect. Just going,
right,
yeah, sure. You think you can do it? It's like,
kind of give me the responsibility and give me the opportunity at the same time.
I love him. Thanks, Mr. O'Brien.
Yeah, thank you. Seriously.
Facts and figures that I looked up about North
Coast. Oh, yay. I'm so excited. And I have a ghost story kind of.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm so excited. Now, North Wales was settled by Welsh immigrants who named it after North Wales very creatively. All right, guys. There were a lot of Welsh settlements in colonial PA, and that area is so rich with, you know, you can't walk a step without tripping over some, like, stone fence a farmer built in 1652.
Yes. And the main street in North Wales is the most beautiful streets. It's all these houses, they're huge mansions, and they're really old, and they're so beautiful.
I love coming from that. And living in LA, it's funny because so much out there is newer, and the stuff that's old, it's very old. It's older than the stuff we grew up with because they're Native American settlements and then Mexican like colonial stuff and the Spanish colonial stuff. And so, but then there's like this time jump where then suddenly everything's from the 60s
and 70s. Yeah, it's crazy.
Very strange. And when I talk about like, oh yeah, there was a church, like for example, you know, I talk about, oh, there was a church that was built in 1776, you know, in like my hometown. People are like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So, North Wales is, let me tell you this, 215-267 area code, of course.
Yep, that's my cell phone, 215, baby.
And what else do we have here? It was incorporated formally in 1869. It's in Montgomery County in PA. Mm-hmm. And the population in 2010, so it may have grown or shrunk, who knows, since then, was 3,229.
Sounds all right.
So it's itty bitty. But since it's Philly suburbs, there's a lot of towns around it.
It's surrounded by towns.
Yeah, there's other shit going on.
Well, I had 3,000 people in my graduating class.
Mm. So you got a regional.
Yeah.
They regionalized the school.
Oh, what three middle schools went into one, North Penn High School.
North Penn High School.
Yeah.
Okay. And so did you, you know, being in, we make the transition from the love of your life to high school.
And I was still in love with him. I would go and volunteer at the middle school.
I'm old enough now. 15.
Yeah. I would do like they did, like high schoolers could go back to the middle school and like help teachers. I'm like, do you need my help? He's like, sure.
Like, are you into me yet? No.
Not really.
So is it going to be like election?
You're
yet?
A child.
No. Yeah, like, no.
What yeah, but like, don't you kind of want it? Nah, I'm married.
Nope. Like my wife.
At least, if I don't, I probably love her. I certainly don't love you. But yes. You're cool. Thank God for good.
And he was so nice to me. Yeah. Like, he was really, I think he had to have known.
He knew.
I never asked him about that. I kind of, if I saw him, I would ask him because I think it's so funny. But I'm, yeah, he knew.
He 100%.
I tried to, I was trying to, not fuck, because I was like, I have never, I didn't have sex, but I don't know. I was trying to do something. I was trying to like pop a titty or something. You know?
How old were you when you got your period?
11.
Me too.
Very young.
Yeah, it was weird. No, yeah. I wore pads. I still to this day.
I have my period right now.
Oh, mazel tov.
Thank you.
It's your vagina is your hometown.
Yeah.
Really.
Yes,
it's really special.
Yes. It is every woman and
it's
man's hometown.
I like still wear pads, which is so weird. I never got on the tampon train.
Period underwear.
Ooh, is it
I like it.
Is it Spanx?
I got Thanx. Not Spanx. Spanx. Well, it's Thanx that looks like Spanx.
Oh, cool.
And in lady language, that means period underwear that looks like stuff that sucks in your gut.
Which is cool because we do tend to bloat during that time.
Oh, yeah.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, and I don't know how, like the period underwear thing, I used to make fun of it when it first came out, but then I was like, that's kind of a clutch. Because I don't like sleeping with something inside me.
No, I don't either. And me and Emma Willman once did a podcast for a company that did period underpants.
Oh, thanks. Yes, yes.
And we were like, or like I was like a guest on it. And it was it was a live show at this big party for period underwear. I was like, life is interesting.
Yeah.
Life is different. It takes long journeys. So in North Wales, like you were in the condo with your mom and Terry, not the mm-hmm. lesbian lover, just
correct.
A friend. And then eventually, mom and dad get back together.
Well, so, yeah. So, after in this condo, my mom was looking to buy a place for me and her. And she was trying to get out of North Penn School District. And I was like, Ma, you can't. I'm in love with Mr. O'Brien. I didn't say it that way, but I was like, I can't go anywhere else. I can't. Because I'm really excited about this school or whatever.
It
whatever
also
bullshit
would have been
I fed her.
Further disruption for you. So, it's good that you advocated on your own behalf in that way, even if it was grounded and horny.
Again, hit the love I had for Mr. O'Brien really fueled me doing well, standing up for myself, getting into theater. I mean, it truly informed my whole life. And then so she ended up buying a condo in the same development. Mm-hmm. And then my mom and dad were separated for 3 years. We lived at that condo, all my middle school. And he would send her books of poetry.
Oh, my God.
Which my dad would never expect. And he, like, missed her so much. The only time I ever heard my dad cry in my life was when I left Virginia to live with her. And, like, I couldn't sleep over my dad's house that night. I had to sleep over a friend's house because I couldn't bear it. And then I called him the next morning. He was crying. And I was like, this is very traumatic for me. And but yeah, they got back together. And then we moved to one street parallel to Main Street in North Wales. So we were still in North Wales in the condo. But we moved to like that main chunk of town.
Did they keep the condo rented out?
Or yes.
I love a good like passive income situation.
Yeah.
I don't even know
like
that's called passive income. I just
PA
love it.
PA sub or passive income situation.
I'm like deeply invested in like for like now that I know your mom took someone's cue that was like a hair salon name, good for a kid. I'm like so invested in this woman. I'm like, did she keep it and get an image? That's a good investment. Yeah. Go to a very like whoa. But like not sophisticated place. I'm just like, this makes sense. Oh, I love it. Okay. You know, the only person I think I've ever met who's at least told me that their parents got my friend Mandy Stadtmiller.
Oh, yeah.
Her parents got divorced and then remarried. I think they did.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And they're still together?
Yeah. I think, I don't know if it was 4 or 5 years they were apart. Something, it wasn't that much different from your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, like when one of my parents comes to visit me, like they have doctor's appointments all the time. They have doctors here. Mm-hmm. They will call each other every hour. It's crazy. Just to say a joke that they heard or something. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys are truly like meant to be.
My mom and dad have been together since they were 17.
Wow.
Yeah, this is something else I talked to Pally about the other day. I talked to my friend Benari about it too, because his parents have been together for a long time. And we're like, it's so unusual, isn't it, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm older than you, I'm 38, but like, or I'll be 38 in like 2 weeks or something.
Yay, wow. Happy early birthday.
Thank you, early Scorpio birthday. But it's very unusual for someone in their 20s, 30s, 40s as well, for me to be sitting with people in that kind of general wide age group to go, oh yeah, my parents have been together since they were young, or they're still together. Or you know, and most of our parents have gone through a bunch of shit, but they may have broken up and gone back together, but they're mm-hmm. still together. And that's so interesting.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, I'm always like, well, does that mean it's my parents make sense together? They just do, and like, that's one of the reasons why I feel like I stay with my boyfriend for so long. Well, many reasons, but my ex-boyfriend, because I'm like, when you love someone, you work on it. But then you know,
I did the same thing.
Yeah, and then you figure out, I don't want to do that anymore.
My ex-boyfriend, John, like, who I don't think would mind me saying this because I'm not really telling tales about him out of school, but he comes from, you know, his folks were married forever. My folks married forever. And I think that you know, and I love him. We're still friends. But like the fact that I think the fact that, you know, when you're with somebody who like either comes from that my parents were together forever background, or I've also seen it this way, somebody who was like deeply traumatized by parents, like never having that dual parent household. So they like idolized it because they saw it on TV.
Yeah.
Which I think is what my mom has to an extent did, because she was raised by a single mom, like on food stamps.
Oh.
In a little Catholic town where it was not okay to have a divorced mom. Mm. And, but you can kind of be like, I'm going to make this work no matter what. And like, I loved my ex very much. I still do in a different way. But like, I think I was like, well, I grew up around people
yeah.
in Flemington. And in Jersey in general, I grew up around people who just stayed married. So I was like, we're going to make it work
yep.
and get married. And it's like, I was being unrealistic and also unfair to my partner.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the bond between Steven and I, my ex of both of our parents are still together. And one of the parents had like a really traumatic accident or something in their life. And the other parent had to just step it up and fucking mm-hmm. be there. You know, so, yeah. But that does create a bond between people.
It's,
you know?
And it's a wonderful thing, but you can also put the pressure on yourself when it's all you've been exposed to. Yeah. And like, you know that other people grew up with like parents who were divorced or mm-hmm. whatever, but when you grew up with parents who were together most of the time, you're like, okay, that's the ideal. Especially if you like your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. I love my parents. They're the shit.
Pally's parents have been together since, I don't know, very young. He and his wife have been together since high school.
Wow.
Yeah, we talked about this too. And then my friend Michael Arsenault, who I interviewed, I think his parents, I forget if they're still together or not, but we got into it too. Like, I think with a lot of these conversations, you're the third person I've interviewed. I feel like they're going to involve, understandably, your parentage. Hey kids, patreon.com/SarahBenincasa is where you can support this podcast and various other things that I do. It supports production, post-production, snacks for our guests, and, you know, keeping the lights on. patreon.com/SarahBenincasa.
Look, your hometown, I mean, when I, you know, you when you emailed me, you said if you have more than one, which one do you really consider? Mm-hmm. It's definitely North Wales because I felt the feelings. Like, I'm a person who feels feelings very intensely, and I just... That's all my teenage years were. And I would just walk around. I would have I had a huge bedroom in the house that my parents ended up buying. It was a tiny little Cape Cod, but it had upstairs and I was the only person upstairs. And I would invite like five girls to sleep over. And then we would like just walk around because there was no curfew. So you can walk around in the middle of the night in that town and no one gave a shit. And there wasn't like crime or anything. And so we would just walk up and down and we were just like feeling feelings and talking about boys and writing notes to boys and just like really like, what do we want to do when we grow up? We want to like fucking rule the world. We want to like, I don't know, like all of that was swirling in North Wales.
Would you ever move back there if it meant you didn't have to give up everything that you do and your other dreams and stuff? Because I think sometimes when we say, would you ever move back to your hometown? The association for those of us who've left is that we left for a reason, for mm-hmm. a relationship, for a career, whatever. So I'm not saying that you would have to leave any of that behind. Yeah. Would you ever live there and, you know?
No, I wouldn't, because I want that part of my life to remain there, mm-hmm. like that stage of my life. If I were to ever move back there, I would probably get depressed because I would look at that as going backwards.
It would feel like a regression, even yes. though you love it.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. It. I love it and cherish it for what it did to me during my teenage years.
That's really cool. Where did you go to college?
I went to Penn State for year one. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred to Marymount Manhattan College because I was like, I got to intern on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. You were like, I got to get it. Also, State College. Shout out to State College. Shout out to the Waffle Shop. Good
Dude,
times.
But Penn like, State.
It's out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It is. It's out in the middle of the mountains. But it is the most fun fucking place on the entire world. It is. You will get an education, a very quality education. People like will nerd out with you and shit. And you can party mm-hmm. like nothing I have ever seen in my life. And then all day Sunday, everyone's at the library. That's how people get good grades there. Because they party Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's crazy.
I have to say, I think Penn State, let's see. I think partying at Penn State was probably the only time I've taken a shit next to a vehicle that wasn't mine. Hadn't remembered that.
You know what? Penn State is the only place in the world that I made out with a stranger on the street as we were walking by.
Oh my God, that's both so exciting.
We were both in a great mood, and he was like, kiss me. And I was like, yeah, it was hot.
Was it after football?
No, not even after a football party. It was just the bars let out, and then I was 18, so I was at somebody's apartment. And we were all, maybe there was a football game. There's a lot of people in the street now that I think about it. because well, there weren't any cars. It was just people. Maybe there was. But, oh, man. Just made it. And I was like, life is amazing. And I'm a free bird.
You were just ready to rock. And then you were like, Marymount Manhattan, I must do theater.
Yeah. Yeah, because I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, if I intern there, I have to be in college. So, okay. So I have to go to college in New York City. And if I intern there, maybe they'll remember me.
Did you ever audition for them, or did you ever?
I submitted a tape 2 years ago, and then I was going to, and yeah, I haven't. No, I didn't do it.
The tape, for people who for some reason don't know this weird bit of knowledge that no one should fucking know. You have to do a certain number of characters, and there's a time limit, and it's very character based, obviously. And so that's, I think, one reason why a lot of people. I don't think I ever submitted the tape. I did a tape, but it just wasn't good enough.
I've recorded many SNL audition tapes, and that were not submitted because but then it's the direction it's going is kind of stand up-y. Like Pete Davidson fucking crushes, and he just does stand up on it. Che is like crushing Weekend Update. It's his stand up style, and it's perfect. So, and Leslie Jones, I mean, you know, they're all stand up. So
Che's delivery in Weekend Update,
it's fucking great.
It's so great. And it's also identical to his stand up delivery.
It is. Like, and it was really cool to see him start. And then you could tell he was trying, he was struggling with the prompter, but he was still good right out of the gate. But it was really cool to see somebody, cause I knew him, like fucking figure it out and like come into their own and like really just hone it, man.
I just had this weird flashback. Also, I'm just having a lot of flashbacks here. Positive flashbacks. I remember there's some photo somewhere of, I think it must be me and Che and Kissel and Marcus Parks or something, many years ago, eating bacon that Rebecca Trent made.
That makes sense.
Bacon dipped in
chocolate.
Pecan. Bacon shit.
Trent.
Just smoking weed and so fucked up. What a moment in time. And P.S., not from my 20s. This is this is literally
we have fun here.
This is from 5 years ago. This isn't that
long in the comedy community, we're all Peter Pans.
Yeah, we're
never
all
grow up.
Child baby. Che didn't have SNL yet, but I forget what it was. And somebody told a story about an ex-girlfriend being mad at them and throwing deodorant at their head. And I don't remember who it was. It could have been me. I hadn't had a girlfriend at that point. Man, I'm really going to
see, I kind of want to date girls, but I don't know if I wish you could pick your sexual orientation. You truly cannot, because I would choose to date girls. I want to date girls.
One of my best friends, Sabrina Cognata, I sexually harass her fairly regularly, but she knows it's playful. But she's like, man, nobody gets as mad as a Scorpio queer woman when you're just no, I'm just not into girls. She's like, they're so confused by it. But no,
I don't get it.
But what? I'm not used to it. What? You can't just. But yeah, she's so, I always tell her, I'm like, it's so funny that you're so straight. And she's like, why, why is that funny? I'm like, it's just really funny to me. Well, it was funny. I mostly have dated men, but dated women as well. And as a bisexual, I'm very conscious of the fact that there are a lot of women whose hearts have been broken by bisexual women who are just I'm experimenting.
And that's not even, is that bisexual?
It's not even bi.
No, bi-curious. It's bi-curious. And that's how I try to identify myself, because I'm very curious.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Understandable. And I think it's also a healthy thing. I didn't have sex with a woman until I was, how old was I? 28 or 29.
Corinne and I recently interviewed this woman who's the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. Her name's Stefania Ferrario, and she's a Instagram model.
She's Italian.
She's so beautiful. She's from Australia, and she's this milky skin, she's a Marilyn Monroe, really. She looks like, and I followed her on Instagram for a really long time, and then I noticed she was liking my posts. I'm like, does she fucking listen to Guys We Fucked? I'm gonna lose my shit. She came here she's here indefinitely right now.
Oh, cool.
We interviewed her. And she was telling me how she's bi, and she looks up, she'll finger girls in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, that sounds so fun. And then one day I was like, if you want to come over and read poetry in my loft and smoke weed. And then I freaked out, and I was like, I want to make out with her so bad, but I don't know if she wants to make out with me. And then I don't know how I feel about it, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to just hide under my bed.
It's a lot of, it's intense. And because the signals, when you're raised, I knew I was bisexual from when I was a kid, but I didn't know what bisexual was.
Oh, okay.
So I'm being 8 years old and being like, I have these certain feelings for girls as well as boys. And I thought it was crazy because I was raised Catholic and I was taught that it was wrong. And not by my parents. I just learned it. My parents were of the generation that was kind of I guess you just toss your kids in church because that's good.
Yeah.
It was the same reason I did softball. They were I guess it's good. Yeah. And it's so funny because my mom was driving me into the city last night because I went out to Jersey to see them and my nephew. We go past this big billboard of Colin Kaepernick. And my mom goes, God bless Mr. Kaepernick. We need him. I'm like, oh, what? She's so,
oh, yay,
my
mom.
Parents are so, I'm like, what? Like, I, you know, give my mom so much shit. And like, you know, they're like,
that's amazing.
I'm like, what? And she'll be like, I was watching it. I watched it. They watched a show called Billions that they love.
Yes.
And there's this character played by Asia Kate Dillon, who is, I don't know if Asia Kate,
she,
genderqueer, gender
she
fluid,
is,
non-binary.
She, non-binary.
Yeah, she's they, non-binary.
They
she's,
is
oh,
the
sorry,
pronoun.
Sorry, sorry. Right,
so, I know, and, I know, I know.
No, I know. Thank you for checking me
well,
out,
Dan
though.
Soder is on the show Billions, and
And Birbiglia was on it, and they had this love story. And
wait, Birbiglia and who?
Birbiglia.
Asia Kate Dillon?
Asia Kate and, yeah.
I was like, I thought you were going to say Birbiglia and Dan Soder. I'm like, no. Oh my God, that's so cute.
That would be so hot.
Yeah.
So like Birbiglia his character had this love story with Asia Kate Dillon, and it didn't work out because of a betrayal.
Oh no.
That involved finance. And so my parents were so upset and emotional, and they're like,
over this Billions plot line?
Upset. Oh my God. Upset. I tweeted at Brian Koppelman about it. I tweeted at Asia Kate about it. I was like, I think I tweeted up her bigly about it. I was like, what the fuck are you people doing?
To my parents?
I like come home, first of all, to suburban New Jersey. I'm chilling with my parents. My dad like used to vote Republican all the time. Doesn't. Voted for Obama, voted for Hillary. Has like a queer like sticker at work so people know his office is a safe space.
Good. Wow.
All this shit.
Good
like,
people.
What? These friggin' weirdos grew up in this 1 square mile town in Jersey. And I'm like, these people, they watch General Hospital. They love it. Ugh. They learned what gender fluid meant because of, I think, General Hospital.
Really?
No,
General Hospital
no.
covered that?
They learned it from Billions. They learned on General Hospital, they learned about sexual fluidity, not sexual fluids.
They learned
that some people are pan. They basically learned about pansexuality. And they were like, did you know, what is that? And I was like, why are you asking me? They're like very into, ooh. And so then I'm like, Jesus, please don't get divorced over this. And then they're like watching Billions and they're like, and I go, I did what I just did. I referred to Taylor, Asia Kate Dillon's character, as she. I go, well, what, is she straight? Is she trans? And my parents look at me and they go, Taylor hasn't told us yet.
Oh,
I'm like, what? And they go, Taylor says they, not she. And I was like, who the fuck?
Wow.
What is go? And it, to me, it's like, it teaches me a little, my parents are amazing people, but it teaches me a little bit about the power of entertainment to affect people's ideas. I know people who never had a black doctor in their life and they became Grey's Anatomy fans. And that was the first time they saw African-American doctors on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds stupid,
well,
but it's true.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think if they can identify with a character on television and then that character happens to have a sexual orientation or gender identification that they're like, what? That's an easy way to learn. But if you sit down and go, all right, dad, it's already no.
Yeah. And I used to do that shit all the time.
Because you can't be condescending. I mean, my dad and I have arguments all. My dad is somebody who, when I was a child, before I was 18, he goes, if you could vote in this election, who would you vote for? I don't fucking know. So you don't even know who's running? What are the platforms of the candidates? I'm like, dad, shut up. And he's like, you need to know these things. You're a citizen. It is your duty to vote. He like encouraged.
That's cool.
But he's not a liberal person.
Right.
And so we would have, so then he got me on the train of educating myself about the candidates and stuff. And then I realized my political beliefs and his polar opposite. And we would have arguments all the time, but they were very good arguments. But now we can't like, the kneeling in the NFL, they don't get what we're doing for this country. I'm like, dad, it is about police brutality. And oh my God, like I really try and be patient when they come at me with the Fox News jargon. Cause
right.
I both watch Fox News.
And it's hard. Cause
and
you
it's
wanna
very
yell.
Difficult. I want to yell, but I can't because that's just not going to get us anywhere.
Sometimes I think what works is, and trust me online, I can be a monster asshole. And
totally.
I've really been trying to check myself on it because The other day on Twitter, I was saying, I made like a joke about, I saw a white girl with dreadlocks and I was like, oh Jesus.
Yeah.
So I made like a joke about it. And this woman was like, I don't see why why is that a problem? And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to yell at you. First of all, I'm a white girl. I don't know shit about shit. I learned this because like black women have told me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how else would you know?
Right. But I was like, I guess, you know, a lot of, I do need to like, I was like, I'm going to have this conversation in public because I think that it is going to be educational.
Yes.
And also, I'm not going to be an asshole to this lady because this lady's not being an asshole to me.
Yeah.
She just is like, why is this an issue? And I, you know, and she obviously is.
Fair question.
So I'm like, well, I understand what you're saying. I didn't understand for a long time. Like, here's like what I've seen. And we kind of went back and forth. She's like, well, would you judge me for having purple hair? I was like, no, that's dope. No, but yeah. I was like, but purple hair isn't associated
a cultural appropriation
right.
kind of thing.
I'm like, it's not associated as like an emblem of pride that is special and specific to a group. And she was like, well, other tribes, you know, tribes throughout history have had dreadlocks. So I was like, that's true too. And I'm like, I hear you. And she's like, you know, I just want to say, I hope you don't think I'm a jerk for engaging with you on this. Like, I really do try to teach my kids to be inclusive and loving. And I was like, no, you seem like a nice lady. Yeah. That's why we're talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
I wish more people could have those kind of conversations.
Me too. Because usually I just want to dunk on somebody and be like, yep. fuck you, you're wrong, I'm
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Corinne and I got a whole barrage of press, negative press, because a blogger from the UK tweeted an isolated sound clip from 2014 about Corinne saying the kind of black guy she likes. Mm. And we had already received an email, like two emails from our listeners after that episode aired of like, hey, like I didn't really appreciate how you talked about that because that really upset me and this is why. And it was the exact type of engagement that I need and want and crave all the time to like know what the fuck is up. Like, how would I know, you know? But she like brought back this clip and then New York Post, BuzzFeed, 106
Jesus,
and Pop, like all the BET. I'm getting Google alerts from BET. I'm like, and you know, Blavity, one of my favorite fucking newsletters that I get. Like, I love that website. And I was like, please don't be on Blavity. Please don't be on Blavity. And for 3 days we weren't. And then at the end, it's like two white girls think they could say what makes a black man. I'm like, no, that's not what we meant. We already talked about it.
It's so hard because somebody could look at. There's so much shit in my Twitter history or like online or dumb shit ever.
Yeah.
Stupid jokes I've made.
Oh, they did the thing where they go through all your tweets and they screenshot it and they write another article about that. And they got a lot from Corinne because she had some funny jokes, but they only got one for me.
And you understand in that experience, it's hard because at once you understand that you have evolved, but you also understand other people don't know that.
Right.
And you, for you to say,
you can't, I don't know how you communicate that.
Somebody took something that Michael Ian Black said out of context on Twitter recently, which happens sometimes. And you know, there's some stuff that Mike says that I don't agree with. There's some stuff I say he doesn't agree with, I'm sure. But mostly, you know, he's a good part person, gives a shit. And he had like tweeted something related to the Kavanaugh hearings. And it was in the context of saying, like, what I understood what he was trying to say. Mm-hmm. It came off a little oddly. And he's also someone who will apologize if he feels he's come off wrong. And I have learned that I got to do that too. I got to be humble. And somebody kept like tweeting it over and over. And I, you know, it's not my job to engage there. Mike can stand up for himself. He doesn't need me. But I was like thinking about it. I'm like, you know, they took something out of context of a thread that was about how like Kavanaugh sucks, how these women have been, how these accusers have not been listened to, how they have been like, and it was interesting. I was like, oh, you know, there's other stuff that you could criticize people on. It's just like
the internet is a bunch of yelling and it feels crazy. It feels like a tornado sometimes and it's dizzying and it feels like everyone's yelling at each other. And so of course that shit happens.
How old were you when you got, did you have the internet for when you were, I don't even know how old you
are. I'm 30 and I'm like,
she's 25. Okay. I was off by 5 years.
Thank you.
But then also I was doing the math in my head. I'm like, if she's 25, she's been doing guys she fucked.
So oh my God. Yeah. High school.
I was like, I feel like that wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. No. No, I'm 30. I lived in North Wales from age 11 or 12. I turned 12 until 18, until I graduated college. And then the summer between Penn State and New York City, I stayed home. That was my last summer home.
So you probably had the internet from the jump, right?
I had the internet from, so when my mom and I moved into that condo in that area, I had AOL, baby. And I remember, CDs. I would listen to Q102 all the time and I would call. They had this like study line, like this study group, like little segment, and they would be like, what homework are you working on? And I would call them like, my name's Christina Hutchinson. I'm working on social studies right now. And like, I was so nerdy. And
they're like, this is the pedo line.
Yeah. And I would have AIM. Oh my God, we were all on AIM.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, middle school was intense.
I remember sexting on AIM when I was in like seventh grade.
I would go on chat rooms and pretend to be a grown woman, and I wouldn't send anything, but that's how I masturbate when I was younger.
It was awesome. Yeah, I was like, this is
hot.
I remember being on, like, there was like a group, there was a phone line where you could leave an ad and then people would call you. Me and my friend Jennifer Hasselman got in a lot of trouble because we were doing that as a joke and like lying. And then I think both of our parents got like $80 phone bills. So it was like a 900 line.
Oh, no.
We got in so much trouble.
Well, ours was dial up. So if I was using the internet, you also couldn't be on the phone.
Yep,
so my mom would scream at me and I would be just emailing Mr. O'Brien.
Yeah. Like, hey, Mr. O'Brien, what's up?
Yeah. And I would check every time I would sign an AOL when it would say you've got mail, my heart would sink.
It's the most exciting, like...
You've Got Mail.
Well, that movie, You've Got Mail, where they... It was real. That was so real. Real-ass shit, where you're just like, you know, you own a bookstore and you meet Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
But it was some real shit where you hear that ding and you're like... I was so
excited. I'm getting, like, goosebumps even thinking about it.
Like, it's a boy.
Yeah.
I remember having my first email long time ago. Well, I think... I don't even think it was AOL. I must have been a Hotmail account.
I know Hotmail account. Hotmail. Oh my God.
Good times.
Yeah.
Now I know I don't want to, you know, keep you forever, and I gotta let you go soon. But before we go, I would just like to know about. We grew up in areas that are rich with pre-colonial history, obviously, because there's a whole history. It's odd that we're having this conversation on Columbus Day. History of this country before white dudes showed up and fucked it up.
I know.
But in our area, there are a lot of ruins and restored things.
Yes. There's a lot of graveyards.
I have some friend who grew up in a farmhouse that was built in the late 1600s.
Yeah.
It had a ghost.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you have a ghost story or there were stories in your town about haunted places.
Well, I have a ghost story, but it was a recent ghost.
Oh, cool.
It was sad. It was this girl. She lived at the end of my street in this giant mansion. I went to school with... This girl's sister was my age. She was actually part of this Time News cover story. She killed herself in her parents' garage.
Wow.
She had depression, but they put her on antidepressants when she was 16 or 17. You can't go on those anymore until you're 8. Like, your brain is matured.
I was suicidal when I went on a drug I wasn't suicidal at the time. I went on a drug at 16.
Mm.
And then became suicidal at 21, dropped out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, they had not yet given it what they later with FDA would put what's called a black box warning, colloquially called a black box warning, which is when there is an SSRI, it was an SSRI, but there was an antidepressant. There's different classes of antidepressants. But when any drug, the FDA gets enough reports of what are called adverse events.
Mm-hmm.
Of a certain type, they investigate them. They investigate them, and they determine that there is a higher than average instance of some adverse event occurring with regard to a particular drug. They'll put a black box warning on it.
Yep.
It's real, and this is what they did with the drug that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad, 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 and that's so sad that she killed herself.
Yeah,
yeah.
She I remember hearing the story. She called her dad, and her dad was at the grocery store or something, and her parents. Her mom was at work, and her sister, I think her sister, she was a migrant, so we were at school. And and she called and she's like, "Dad, you need to come home right now. I have to go. I have to end my life," whatever. And he was rushing home, and she was in the garage. She hung herself in the garage. They tore down the garage virtually the next day. This huge two car, it looked like it had like a playroom upstairs or something. It was detached from the house. They tore it down, and then they moved out almost immediately. This new family came in. They built the garage back up. It looked exactly like the old garage.
They may have not. Also, that family may not have been told what happened.
I don't think.
A lot of times realtors
they were.
Which
I think legally, well, in New York, you have to. Legally, you have to say if somebody died. If somebody asks, if somebody died on the premises, you legally have to say yes. I don't know what the PA rule is. But there's a couple instances where my mom has had a lot of yard sales in North Wales. She gets into a hobby. She decides she doesn't want to do it. But after she's bought
Beanie
all the things for the hobby.
Beanie Babies are over.
I had Happy Meals in my fridge in Virginia because of the Beanie Baby fucking toy. Anyway, so I remember one night my mom was having a yard sale. So my ex-boyfriend Steven, my best friend Melissa, and I were hanging yard sale signs. This was like a year ago. But this has happened a couple times. So we were hanging it was maybe 3 a.m, and we were right across the street from that house, and I'm hanging this yard sale sign, I'm like nailing it into this light pole, and Steven goes, "Guys," and we look over, and this fluorescent light on the garage is like, it's not flickering, it's going, it's like buzzing in and out, it's like someone had a dimmer on it. And I forget what the woman's name who had taken her life. I remembered it at the time though. And I said the name, and I think it was like Sarah. It might've been Sarah. And then the light went like on to like indicate the, it was all three of us were like we gotta go.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it happened a couple times?
A couple times. I remember walking by that house once and around the garage, and all of a sudden, like, the light came on, and then it went off. And I was like, yo, I know you rebuild a new garage, but, like...
There's some shit happening.
There's some shit from the old garage that's still there.
Did you feel, like, goosebumps?
Yes, I felt a chill, and it was in the middle of summer. It's always summer when the times that this has happened, but yeah.
That's something that people describe when they talk about the reaction that... because I've never been around, to my knowledge. I've never been around. And P.S., like, my dad is really into science. I'm really into science. You're really into science. But mm-hmm. my dad taught me something very valuable, I think he said. I was like, do you believe in ghosts? And he was like, yeah, I think they can be real. And I was like, do you think people are just imagining them? He's like, sometimes, but other times I think they're probably real. And I was like, well, why do you think that? And he said, I think it would be, he said, I look at the advances we've made in what we understand as humans, even look at physics, look at different, mm-hmm. like whatever pick. And he's like, I look at times in history where people thought, okay, we know everything there is to know. We're yep. so modern. And now we, in each subsequent generation, like laughs at that. Cause they're like, oh, we know so much more. And he said, I think it would be egotistical and arrogant for us to think that because we live in this time and place that we know everything. And he said, so I leave room for the fact that there are many things we don't understand. And then mm-hmm. at 100, 200, 300 years, people may understand the way that energy remains. Or, and he said, so, and I also think there's a spiritual component to it. Mm-hmm. And he said, so I'm just not going to rule it out. I think it's interesting. And
yeah.
I felt that was a really, I'm really glad he taught me that lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, that reminded me, there was my grandmother died in my house in North Wales. And my grandfather. And every time I have a nephew, he's three. My parents have recently, they just sold that house. Every time we were, but they were the second owners of it. Every time we took a video of my nephew in the living room of my parents' house, there would be lights. But like, I have video of it on my phone. And my mom would take it. She would show it to me. I'm like, Mom, that's a ghost. Like, you see that? And she goes, wait, what? And she's like, oh my God. And I like slowed it. And she's like, oh my God. And then
that's so cool.
I have a personal trainer who has a close family friend she grew up with who's a healer and a spiritual, like a goat, like she can talk to dead people. She can, you know.
I have a friend who does that too.
Just all, of it. Yeah, it's really cool. And one day I should tell you this video and I was like, that's a ghost, right? She's like, 1,000%. And the next day, Talia texts me. She goes, Maria wanted me to tell you that that's your grandmother and she's really sorry that she couldn't have been nicer to you when she was alive. And my grandmother hated women. She loved my brother, hated me, loved my dad, hated my mom. And I was like, yo.
That's amazing.
That's grandma's ghost. And I was like, that's so cool.
I think it's a lot of times it happens with little kids.
We yeah. have
a little kid in our family who started looking towards the door one day and going she was like, there was an older person who had died. And she was like saying like, oh, she, and she said her name, but she knew her name. She knew that she had existed. Mm-hmm. She said, wanted me to say, and then mention something very specific.
Whoa.
And the family was like, what? And it happened when she was 3 and 4, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of times it stops when they're like 3.
Yeah.
But it wasn't scary. Intuition. It was nice. She wasn't yeah. frightened.
Yeah. Because they weren't taught to be frightened of that.
She wasn't
yeah.
old enough to be scared by it, I yeah. think. Ugh, I love this.
This is so
a
much
great
fun.
Conversation. I'm so glad. Christine Hutchins, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me where, I mean, obviously they can listen to Guys We Fucked, duh.
Hell
they
yeah.
They already do, probably anyway. Every time I mention it, people are like, oh, yeah, I've heard that podcast. Or they've either listened to it or they have a friend who loves it.
Yeah.
I have one friend. I think it was my sister-in-law. I forget who it was. Somebody said to me yesterday, they were like, in Jersey, they were like, oh, my God, I have a friend who has been married since she was like 21 and she's like 28 and it was her high school boyfriend. So she loves the show and she's like, I can't relate to any of it. I love it. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So she kind of lives like not vicariously.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
Of, yeah.
yeah.
She listens to
we have a lot of like listeners who are not that sexual and mm-hmm. like they just want to listen because they're like, what the fuck are these hoes doing?
Yeah, they're like, this is very exciting.
Excuse me, I know this is a terrible time to cough into a podcast mic.
I mean, I've been drinking water on the mic. Where can people go to learn more about you? Anything you want to promote?
Oh yeah, well, I have a monthly show called Glamour Puss that's happening October 27th at 7:30 at Zinc Bar, and Christina Hutch. Wow, if you're still listening, Christina Hutch on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, and I promote all my shows there. And Guys We Fucked is available. You know, just Google it.
Yeah, you'll find it. Thank you so much. And let's hang out soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. Thank you, Christina. And thank you to everybody for listening. Christina is at Christina Hutch, KRYSTYNAHUTCH, on Instagram. I'm Sarah J. Benincasa on Instagram and on Twitter. And the podcast is Where Ya From Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. Hashtag Where Ya From Pod. Questions, comments, concerns, requests, pitches, etc. I don't know. Maybe you want advice from the next guest. I have no idea. It's from you can get at moi at whereyafrompod@gmail.com. Rate us, subscribe, get excited. I hope you're having an awesome day. You are beautiful. You deserve the best, no matter where you're from or where you're going. I love you. Thank you very much.